previously on Dice on the Table.
You fail to see the pirates have now basically taken all of the other passengers and crewmates. They're either dead or captured, and you three are the only left standing.
Let me introduce myself. I am Captain Grav, and I am here to take your ship.
Well, I am Devis, and I am planning on taking my quarterstaff and getting it really familiar with your chin.
All right, we've had enough of playtime now. Just take them down.
And all of you are attacked simultaneously by at least five or more pirates, and you all black out. And as you get up top, it is bonkers. There's waves that you could swear are 30, 40, 50 feet high, and lightning is arcing, and with thunder just almost drowning out all sound.
Even though we were at arms, it's not my nature to let Captain Grav get devoured by this shark.
And you see some kind of aquatic humanoid walk up from the water, and they are holding tridents, and they look very fishy, both figuratively and literally. And these are Sawagin. It seems they have also found this wreck, just as you have.
I'll try and find him for it.
The three of you are posed onto the beach, and you are currently in a hiding space good enough that the Sawagins coming out of the water do not see you. And you previously said that you wanted to get the supplies before the Sawagin do. And so I'm going to let you guys have a surprise round and you'll get to do some stuff. So what do you want to do?
I'll walk out first. So they're like right by the supplies, right? And we're kind of a ways off.
Yeah, we'll say they're good 40 feet away and you're 30 feet away.
They're 40 feet away from...
From the ship.
From the ship. Oh, okay. Okay. I guess we should deal with them and then go get the supplies. So I'm actually going to... How far away are we from them? I'm sorry.
Let's say a good 60 feet.
Sounds good. I'm going to cast Shield of Faith. It's just a bonus action. It lasts 10 minutes, so presumably this whole fight. A shimmering field appears and surrounds the creature of your choice within range, granting it a +2 bonus to armor class for the duration. I'm going to cast it on myself so that I can be even more of a meat
shield. So that puts you at 21, right?
Yep. I have dragon level armor class right now.
Do the Sawagins look like they're headed, making a beeline for the supplies?
Right now, they are coming out of the water. They are looking curiously at the ship. They are picking at some of the floating bits of wood and other things in the water, just kind of inspecting, see if there's anything worth grabbing. And they're slowly making their way towards the ship. They don't look like they're tense at all. They're just casually going through things.
I'm just going to walk right out and kind of walk between. Are we not
stealthing them?
I'm not going to because I have disadvantage on stealth and I'll roll terribly. I also have -1 dexterity modifier. I mean, you guys can stealth. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm going to stay hidden back here.
I'm pretty confident I can survive anything. I think of myself as immortal. I should admit that was my flaw. No concept of own mortality.
All right, so it sounds like Dabella is definitely just going out and doing something.
I'm walking out and cutting them off. I'm walking between them and the supplies.
Sure. So as you step out from the little sand hill that you're all laying down on, the three Sawagin definitely see you as soon as you get a bit closer. And for Swift and Devis, that is definitely a big distraction. Is there something else you would want to do?
Devis is really tentative about attacking his people. I'd rather try and solve this peacefully than just slaughter a bunch of things that might or might not be going after these supplies.
I would like to kind of tuck myself deeper behind this stealthily and pull out my short bow, but not fire or anything yet.
Okay, so you're taking cover, and Would you like to make a ready action?
Sure. If any of them attack, if any of my, how conditional can I be? Can I be if any of them attack, or if any hostile action is taken on either side, I am going to shoot whoever's closest.
Yeah, that's fine. If any kind of hostility.
Cool.
And Divas, so you are trying to seek a non-fighty way?
Yeah, I think I'd like to start off by having Divas intimidate them to just move along. He shouts towards the Swaggin, "This is our ship, these are our supplies. There's no reason for you to get hurt over these things."
As you're talking to them, they look at you, and then they start speaking in a weird screeching language to each other that you don't recognize.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of afraid of that.
And they are currently raising their spears in kind of threatening way. They're starting to slowly creep towards the paladin.
Can I make an intimidation check?
Of course.
I'd like to just brandish my weapon and not charge at them or anything, but just kind of let them know that if they want to fight over this, then I'm definitely ready. And yeah.
Sure.
Let's see. 18.
So how do you intimidate them?
Just waving my long sword and my shield around and kind of pointing over towards the supplies and then pointing back towards them and just kind of using body language to make it clear that those are mine and they should go look elsewhere for stuff because it's not really worth the fight.
I'm kind of picturing an old cheesy Chinese kung fu movie where you're just making these large gestures like, "I'm going to slit your throat if you go over there."
Yep, pretty much exactly.
Okay, so as you do that, they look at each other, do some more screeching, and then they start to spread out a bit more and start to do a half circle around you. And they are definitely looking for a fight.
Can I just roll initiative? Because that's pretty hostile.
Can roll initiative if you want to throw some down. So I will roll for the Swaggin, and I'll get you three in a minute.
Does this activate my readied action, or will I just fit into the regular initiative order?
Yeah, so what we'll have happen is we'll put you in initiative order, and before the round starts, you'll just get a free attack.
Fantastic.
So the Swaggin got an 18. Anyone get higher than that?
No.
Or equal.
I only got 12.
Same.
I rolled a 2 for a total of 1.
So Dibella's nice. Going last. Between Divas and Swift, which one of you has the bigger dex bonus?
I have a +3.
That would be you.
Alrighty.
So before we even start the top of the first round, a bolt flies from... Oh, actually, are you using a short bow?
I am.
All right. An arrow flies from your bow. Give me a roll.
And then do I have advantage on this roll because they don't know I'm there?
Correct. And because they crept forward, I'm going to say that they're within 30 feet, which will activate your sneak attack as well.
I get sneak attack if I have advantage anyways, but yes.
Oh, gotcha. There's no range to it.
It's, yeah, if I have advantage or if I have an ally in melee range.
Okay.
So, here we go. Well, 18 to hit.
18 does hit.
And that is 4 damage from the arrow and another 5 from my sneak attack.
So a total of 9 damage?
Correct.
All right. So as you are being all paladin-y and intimidating, you're smacking your sword against your shield, the Swaggin start to encircle Dibella, and then one on the left gets an arrow right in the leg, and a ear-splitting screech comes out of its toothy, fishy maw. And at that point, we start initiative. Is there anything particular that the three of you are doing?
I'm going to focus on the one that just got hit and try and take them out.
Okay.
Take them out first. But yeah, I'm just going to try and engage them all in melee combat and laugh as their pathetic blows bounce off my ridiculous Shield of Faith level armor class.
All right.
I'm going to keep picking them off. The one that I hit again, and then if any of them break away from melee and start heading towards me, then I will change that one, but I'm going to stay back at range for now because I have a pitiful armor class.
And now that the proverbial shit has hit the fan, do you still want to seek a peaceful resolution, Divas?
Divas kind of shakes their head in disappointment and begins to Naruto run towards one of them.
Peace was never an option.
All right.
I mean, I tried to not kill them.
I'm a cat, they're a fish, you know.
So yeah, the Sawagans go first, and all three of them are going to attack Dabella. So the one on your left that was stabbed, that was hit by the arrow, tries to stab you in the gut with its spear. You deflect it with your shield, and then the one on your right and the one in front of you attacks you at the same time, except you catch the one on the right's spear and collide it with the other spear as you just effortlessly defend their attacks. And we get to Swift.
Alrighty, so we're gonna keep shooting. Ooh, but that is a 7.
A 7?
To hit, yeah.
So that is a big old piff into the sand. Did you want to move at all? Because they do know you're there now.
I'm gonna hang back here for now. They're pretty distracted, and I feel like my more melee-focused friends will probably keep them from coming up at me. So I'll hang here.
As you are charging towards them, Divas, what do you do?
As soon as I get within a close enough distance to attack, Divas does kind of a side flip, swinging their quarterstaff around to connect with their chest, and that is a whopping 7.
They're stumbling in the sand right now because of Dabella's defense, and unfortunately, that also makes you miss as well.
When they land, they'll follow up with an unarmed strike.
Okay.
For 15.
15, roll damage.
And that'll be 4.
Did you want to hit the one that was already hit by the arrow?
Sure, let's knock the lowest one off first.
And now it is Dabella's turn.
Alrighty, I'm going to go ahead and take a swing at the still injured one. Also 7.
Doing great, guys.
is that 3 sevens yet?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That should mean like something special happens, because that's like a jackpot in a slot machine, right?
Look, friends, I know the sand is a little off balance, but we've got to do better than this.
That sand is just a bit too hard to fight in right now. And the Sawagans, just seeing you are this walking tin can, decide to all attack Divas, since he is more fleshy.
All right.
So I still have my bonus action. Actually, could I cast Shield of Faith on Divas as well?
As long as you have another casting of it, yeah.
I do. And that's,
is it concentration, though?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a great question.
It is concentration.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I figured can't have it up on 2 people.
Another spell that has concentration on it, the one you're concentrating on breaks.
Yeah, so I'm not going to do that then.
Okay.
I'll keep trying to tank.
You're so selfish.
Well, hopefully you can get away and let me tank more or something.
So one that has the arrow in it just almost trips in the sand with its injured leg. But another one comes over and successfully stabs you, and the other one crits you. So...
ouch.
Oof.
19 points of damage.
Jeez, wow. Down.
So,
oh wow.
How that looks is, as you were distracted by the one with the arrow in the leg, just trying to stumble towards you, you just didn't quite get your defense up enough for one to just barely scratch your leg, but the other one just drives his trident right into your chest.
I start to just gurgle with blood.
And then we have Swift Plume.
Alrighty, well that's worrying. I don't really have anything useful I can do up there except keep kicking them off, so... oh my god, I'm rolling like shit! 8!
8?
Yup.
So, you're probably just looking at Divas right now with the trident poking out of his chest, and another push into the sand.
Oof. I should have done this last time. I would like to take my bonus action to hide. I know you mentioned there's like a sand dune that I was hiding behind before. I'm guessing I can't duck behind the same one, but is there anything else that I could use as cover nearby?
Yeah, give me a quick perception check.
Alrighty. That is a 20, not a natural 20, just the...
Let's say that there is a large part of the ship that has rolled over onto the beach, and if you get a good enough stealth check, you can take the little sand beach dune and hide behind there.
Alrighty, gonna roll some stealth. 12.
I just need to roll perception checks for the Sawagin. You do see the one with the arrow just totally oblivious to you.
Alrighty, that's my turn.
So, as previously stated in the first episode, one of the house rules is that the GM is going to be the one that rolls death saving throws. So the players don't know if that person is succeeding or not.
So scary.
Oh god, what if he rolls a crit, like a crit fail or something? Ugh.
You don't know.
I don't like it.
You don't know is the thing.
Oh, don't kill me.
Okay, a roll has been made. So as you are staring up into the sky, Divas, you just see the glint of sunlight bouncing off of the shaft of trident that's in your chest. And move on to DeBella.
Alrighty. Well, I'm going to use my action to lay on hands.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gonna reach over and just for flavor, rip out the spear and put my hand right where the wound is and try and close it up real quick before they miss too many heartbeats, I guess.
And that's just automatic healing, right?
Yep, and all I have are 10, so I'm going to use all 10.
So as you rip out the trident from his chest, just 3 spouts of blood, almost in comical fashion, just erupt from his chest, and as you put your hand down, you're covering up one of the holes, and blood is spraying on you, covering your front armor red. And Divas, your wounds close, and you are back up to 10 HP.
How'd you guys like my fountain impersonation?
It was beautiful.
It was great, but I think it's only something I need to see once.
I want to move over my Shield of Faith, but I only have 1 spell slot left, and I might need that to heal someone again, so I am going to keep everything. I don't have any other useful actions, unfortunately, right now, so that's it.
So, seeing that you successfully healed your companion, the 3 Sawagin are now going to try and kill the caster.
Whew. Sorry, but that's probably better.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And again, you are just a bastion of steel and chainmail. They just cannot get through your armor. And that comes to Swift.
All right, so if the one that has the arrow in it didn't see me, do I get advantage on that one if specifically I'm attacking that one?
Yes.
Alrighty. Hopefully that'll mean I can get better than what I have on the line. 14?
A 14 hits.
Oh my god. Alright, so that is going to be 8 from the arrow and another 6 from the snake attack. Man, I love snake attack.
Describe how you take it down.
Alright, this one is going to go straight into his scaly throat and even knock him back with the force of the impact.
Nice. Did you want to move at all?
I mean, I'm going to try and duck behind a different piece of cover, since that seems to be the only way I can hit things if they don't see me.
Give me another perception check.
All right, I got 12 for perception.
Okay, so the only thing that you could feasibly hide behind is if you run and dive into the water. Try and hide in the shifting waters.
No, I'm gonna... How far away from them am I?
Oh, you're within 1 movement.
I suppose if I'm... No, I'm gonna back up. Get about...
They're still in melee. They're still in melee with other people in your party.
I know. I don't want to be in melee. I was debating if I wanted to get in melee to defend Divas a little bit more, but I don't think I'll be that useful. So I'm actually gonna move back about 20 feet to get myself further away from them in case they do want to turn on me.
Sure. Divas, you get an action.
All right. Well, Divas will turn to the one that stabbed them in the chest with the trident and say, "You got my clothes all bloody," and then attempt to crush their chest with their quarterstaff.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I roll a one on that one.
No. So as you are on the sand, you're a monk. You've trained at a monastery. You're super used to doing some really cool, flippy way to get back on your feet. But this is sand. So you try that maneuver, and it just doesn't work, and you flop back down on the sand.
Well, with my bonus action, I summon the energy deep inside of me, and I use my patient defense, so I will be dodging for the rest of this round.
Okay, and that means that they have disadvantage on you, correct?
Correct.
Nice.
So as you see Divas just get into a defensive position, what do you do, Dabella?
I'm going to go ahead and swing at whatever one is closest to Divas. I guess the one that they were swinging at and missed.
Okay.
Let's see. 16 to hit.
That hits.
Oh, not the best roll. 4 slashing damage.
As you slash it, you see some dark, grimy red blood splatter onto the sand. And it is their turn. And one's going to attack Dabella, and one's going to attack Divas. Now, normally, Sawagin get advantage on attacking creatures that are not at their max hit point, but Divas has some defensive maneuvers going on, so that cancels it out. So it's just a regular old attack. And since their spear is gone, they're just gonna try and claw you. So they successfully claw you, get some nice chunks out of your chest, and they deal 5 points of slashing damage. And then, unfortunately, they do get 2 attacks. They go in for a bite. And deal another 4 points of bite damage.
So you're down to 1?
That's correct.
Alrighty. It's going well, guys.
And now for, at this point, Dabella, you're not doing any fancy moves. You're just kind of standing there, and you're just barely moving your shield. You're barely parrying, as they just can't get past your armor at all. And we have Swift.
Great. Natural fucking 1. All right, we're doing great. Sorry, guys.
So, as you are about to fire off an arrow, the water comes rushing in a bit farther and gets your feet wet, and because of your previous experience last night, that freaks you out a bit, and you just boom, and it flies into the air.
Sorry, guys. Alright, seeing that Divas is very hurt, though, I am going to draw my rapier and rush up into melee range. Hopefully, if I give them another target, they will maybe back off a little bit.
Sure. That brings us...
You did kill one of them.
That brings us to Divas.
I was just saying, you did kill one of them already. They might be mad.
Yeah, well, Divas will get their revenge.
So you're still lying on the sand.
So I will get up and then try again to attack the one closest to me. This time trying to sweep its legs with my quarterstaff.
Okay.
And this time, 19.
That hits. Give me some damage.
There we go.
10 damage.
Nice.
So that one, you just slam your staff into his shins and he howls into the sky with pain.
I note to myself, huh, so knees are their weakness. And then we'll go to kick at one of their knees.
Okay.
That was just connected. That would be an 11.
Oh, just barely moves its leg out of the way.
Just miss. That's fine.
Okay, Dabella.
Alrighty, I'm going to take a swing at that same one that was injured. 14 to hit.
Yes.
And another 4 damage total of slashing.
So as it was dodging the last kick from Divas, it gets stabbed just a little tiny bit from you. But it is not looking good. It is pretty bloodied. And that brings us to the top of the round again with Sawagin. Indeed, one of them does go towards a Swift, and because you killed his companion. And it will be taking an attack of opportunity from Divas and Debella if they want to use their reaction.
Oh, I do. Very much do. That's 13. A nat 20.
Oh,
nice.
And I thought I heard a 19 from Debella.
Sorry, 13.
You both hit. Let's get damage from Divas first.
And that's double damage, right?
Yes, you still add just your strength once, but you roll the dice twice.
Yeah, so that'll be 10.
Very nice. So as it attempts to leave your threatened area, you just slam it on the tailbone, and that just fucking hurts.
It deserves it. Bloodying up my nice robes.
All right, Debella, what you got?
3 damage.
It's arching its back, just, oh, fuck, oh, God, that hurts so much. And then you do a nice little clean cut, and then we get to Swift Plume. Oh, wait, oh, I'm sorry. they still get to attack.
Do they, though? Must they?
I'm sorry. They must. So it tromps through the sand, and scratches you on the side with its trident, and it deals you 7 points of piercing damage.
Oh, did it hit? Okay. You've got our ACs already?
I do.
Okay. Sorry, you said 7 points?
7 points.
Cool.
And it goes in to try and bite your shoulder, but you shrug it off. And then we go to Debella. If they even hit you... Oh, holy crap. It does hit you.
Nice.
So, again, you just keep blocking its spear attacks with your shield over and over and over again. But this time it actually bites you, the cheeky bastard. And it deals 5 points of bite damage to you.
Nice. All right.
Swift, you are face to face with a humanoid fish-like person. What do you do?
And I am... So no one else is in melee range of it. I'm by myself now?
Correct.
All right. And I can use my... So cunning action is just a bonus action, so I can take that first, right?
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to do a nice little tuck and roll, get out of range of this guy, and run up to the one that is engaging my allies in combat.
So you're doing your bonus action to disengage, and then use your move action to move.
Yes. Can I get up to the other one?
You can.
Fantastic. We're going to do that, and we're going to take a little stab him with my rapier. That's a 16 to hit.
It does.
And that's a 6 plus 3, so 9 damage.
All right. Describe how you kill your second Sawagin.
Awesome. All right. This one, I snuck around its back. Well, not snuck. It probably saw me coming, but we're just going to take my rapier and just jam it up. Up through its ribcage from behind.
All right. That second Sawagin sees you do that, and its fishy eyes are filled with fear. And you can check us out on Facebook, Dice on the Table. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Dice Table. And if you feel like emailing us, we are at diceonthetable@gmail.com. And that makes it Divas's turn.
So Divas is going to turn and stare down the last remaining one that's in melee range and begins to...
One's a little out of melee range. That's the one I dodged away from. But I'm sure you can reach it.
Yeah, it's just a little... It's just like 20 feet away from you.
Yeah, I've got movement speed of 40, so it's going down. So as I approach it, I start helicoptering my quarterstaff above my head. And then... using the momentum from that, I spin and aim at its neck for 15.
That hits.
And does 14 points of damage.
Okay. Tell me how you take this one out.
So, like I said, I'm coming up to it, spinning my quarterstaff above my head and bring it down in a spin with a slashing motion towards its neck. I feel it connect, but... doesn't interrupt my momentum at all, and I kind of finish in a crouch with my legs kind of crossed and a death stare in my eyes as I stare back behind me.
Okay, so as that one falls into the sand, it appears that there is no other hostile forces around you.
Whew. All right, good job, guys.
They didn't have to die like this, but that was their choice.
We need these supplies. We have pretty much nothing right now, so they made their bed.
Well, let's forget about them and try and gather up as many of these things as we can and head back to the others.
I'd like to, so the Sahagin were all wielding, like, they had tridents. Do any of those in good enough condition for me to scoop up?
Yeah, they do. So they are essentially spears, just that kind of look like tridents.
Are they throwable?
I believe spears are throwable. Let's check.
I don't think they're a finesse weapon, though. I think that you have to use your strength if you throw them. I could totally use them, though.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I was going to pass one out to everybody, and I was going to make the comment that I don't know if our allies that we've got back where we washed up have weapons with them, so it'd be good to arm them as well if they don't. I do not recall.
Yeah, so spears, basically, they're just a 1d6 piercing. But they're versatile, so if you wield them with two hands, they do 1d8 damage. And you can throw them. 20 feet is normal, and then if it's between 20 and 60, you have to roll a disadvantage.
Cool. So yeah, if you guys want one, otherwise, like I said, I'll just take them back to our people.
Yeah, I'll take one.
Sure. You want one, Doofus?
Monks have no use for such weapons, but we can definitely provide our other companions with one.
All right, let's see what's in these in our shipwreck, a wreck of a ship.
Okay, so you do have to get into the water a bit.
I'm gonna hang out and watch.
Okay.
I am sick of water.
Actually, if you want to, it is stuck onto a jutting out rock, like many of the other almost spear-like rocks coming out of earth around this part of the coast. If you want to, you can give me a athletics check to try and climb on top of it so you can get there without swimming.
I'm not very good at athletics, but I would much rather try that. Well, it's a 2, so I think I go for a swim.
Okay, so here's what happens. As Dibella and Divas just kind of wade out there, you get to about midsection high, and you kind of half swimming, half walking on the sand beneath you in the water, and you see Swift climbing the rock, and as she's climbing, a seagull comes down and just squawks very loudly at her. She slips and just plunks right into the water.
Oh, fucking water dip!
And if you want to, you can just swim over there to the ship.
Yeah, at this point, I'm already wet.
I'd like to imagine that Swift does one of those cat jumps where they're on all fours and all of a sudden just all their legs go stiff and they end up in the water because of it.
Yes, pretty much exactly.
So as you get inside, water is lapping in and out, and it does look a little unstable, but you're pretty sure it's safe to poke around. And I'm going to have all three of you give me some perception checks to search around.
Man, I'm not rolling great.
16 for me.
Okay.
7. Actually, I need to look something up really quick with my expertise, because I don't think I'm doing it right.
A 10, all right. Yeah, expertise, I believe, lets you double your proficiency bonus. I believe.
I will double check. Yes. Okay, so that's actually... Oh, no, still a 7. Okay, I already put that into account with my... how I wrote it down. So, nope, still a 7.
Okay. So, I guess maybe you're just too distracted about being wet and still being right near the ocean?
Yep.
And Dibella, you're doing an okay job. You're doing an average job looking around and poking around, so you find some things. So, one of you should all three of you can write stuff down. But, Dibella, you happen to find some rare and nice items that would turn a pretty penny. And I'm not going to have you carry, as a GM, just a bunch of gems and art. I'm just going to turn it into gold.
Sounds good.
So thematically, you find a nice box of gems. You find in a crate there's some nice art, and it just magically transforms into gold. And you find a total of 345 gold, which gives each person 115 gold.
Nice.
Wow, if he found that with his 10, what did I get with my 16?
You find a bunch of cool stuff. All right. So,
how much gold was that again? I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. That's 115.
That's enough for 115 goats.
That's a very specific thing for you to know.
You could build a goat army.
It's like the very first sentence in the equipment. The part that talks about money is like, it lists three things, and the third thing is a goat for a gold piece.
Dabella's secret dream is to retire and be a goat farmer.
Okay, so I'm going to describe these items, and some of these you'll just have to take back to camp to figure out exactly what they are. So you do find a scroll that looks like it has a spell on it.
Ooh.
You find a sword. It's engraved with the shapes of the moon in different phases, and it looks really pretty, and it feels kind of tingly to your hands. You also find...
Is what kind of sword? I mean, just like the basic, is it a short sword, long sword?
The book doesn't say, so I'm going to roll and see. It is a long sword. You find a very interesting ear horn, if you know what that looks like. You just where people who were deaf back in the day, they would put a horn to their ear. You also find a wand. You find a potion. Now, potions, you actually can tell what they are in D&D 5e if you just take a little sip of it.
I will go ahead and take a little sip of it.
So this one is a potion of frost giant strength.
Ooh, very nice.
All sorts of goodies.
You also find a feather token. It looks like it's in the shape, the metal part is in the shape of a swan, and there's a large feather sticking out of it, almost like the mast of a ship.
My eyes light up a little bit. I like it. It's very pretty.
You see a gentlemanly looking walking cane.
I'm very interested in the walking cane.
Does it have a sword in it? Can we see if it has a sword in it? Is it a sword cane?
Initially, it doesn't open, but you get the same kind of tingle in your paws. Like, this might be magical. Oh, and I'm sorry. The sword with the moons on it is actually a short sword. I just checked in my notes.
I vote that goes to Swiftplume, assuming it's...
I don't think it's finesse, and I'm not very strong.
I think short swords are.
I will double check.
You also find what looks like a fake eye to replace someone that has lost an eye.
Dibs.
Did you say dibs?
I'm cutting my eye out first.
This is so much cooler.
Considering I found all these things, I'll divvy them out.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. We need to see who gets to cut their eye out, all right?
Pass.
Well, monk, third eye, come on now.
Oh, hey, that's a good point. Oh, yeah, short swords are enough. Neat.
You see some interesting arrows. So these arrows, that at the end of it, it's almost like a little punching glove at the end.
Ooh, ballista arrows.
Nifty.
You also find a very nice looking set of drums.
Nice.
Oh, those drums are mine.
But we have to teach Dabella how to keep rhythm and stuff.
Well, we can shoot to Bella's feet with the punching glove arrows and teach them how to dance.
Perfect.
Yep. All right. You also find a pouch that smells faintly of spices. And then you also find a small crate that contains 6 potions of healing.
Nice.
All right. So that's what you find that is not broken or ruined. And if you want to, you can take it back to camp to inspect it. Because for any magical items, you just need a short rest to learn what they are.
Do we find any food?
I was just going to ask about that.
Oh, yes. Yes. I got so caught up with giving you magical items and stuff.
I do appreciate it.
You do find a good amount of barrels and crates with food and water. And you also find supplies like rope and other basic tools.
Very cool. Yeah, I vote that we load up on as much of these basic supplies and food and head back to the others.
Yeah, how much would we be able to carry this all in one trip, or would this be a multi-trip kind of thing?
This would be a multi-trip.
Okay, I'm wondering if, since there were already other beings interested in this, if we should leave someone behind to...
I'll do it.
Okay, I was going to say, probably the one that can take the most hits, and then Divas and I can
I'll take a short rest.
Okay, Divas and I can go bring what we can, and then we could bring our friends back. Though I did want to bring up that... the pirate captain, you know, like, has also been saved, but I don't know how much I trust him.
Yeah, you remember that he was still unconscious when you left.
And what was his name again? I'm sorry.
Captain Grav.
And then we also have Captain Starmore and the first mate Thrizog also made it. Those are the only people we have seen. I mean, we could even, there's no real reason to stay where we're at. We could just bring... at least Thrizog and Captain Starmore over here and decide what we're going to do about Captain Grave.
Yeah, sure.
What do you guys think?
That's kind of a tough one, actually. I don't know. I can go either way, or whichever way.
Divas feels that Captain Grav owes them a debt after saving them from the shark, so they're not too worried about how many misdeeds that Grav's going to take against us after that.
All right. Just want to make it known that I think we should probably keep a little close eye on him. Since he did, you know, capture us and tie us up and stuff.
Oh, sure.
All right. So if we're all good with that plan, Divas and I can take some, well, actually, I don't know. What do you guys think in terms of where we should kind of set up? Like if we're going to just bring them back here, I don't know.
Well, if it's safe enough for us to be here for a short rest, I think we should take the short rest. I'd like to take the opportunity to heal up from one.
What? You don't feel safe at one hit point? I can't imagine why. Yes, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that. Depending on where you're at, I do still have one spell. Afterwards, my lay on hands do not regenerate after a short rest. It takes a long rest. But I can cast Cure Light Wounds on you. If you're still, or just cure wounds.
I need to remember what my hit die is really quick. So hold on a second here.
Yeah, I'm gonna use a hit die too because I'm at about half health. So if we're taking it, and if it takes a short rest to find out what the magic items do, we might as well kind of meditate upon those as well while we're doing said short rest.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
All right. So, what items do you want to look at?
I'm very interested in this walking stick.
Okay.
I would like to take a look at that short sword.
And I used both hit die for my short rest, and I'm fully healed.
You rolled better than I did. I used both, and I'm at 12.
So as you take some time to look at that cane, it is called the Veteran's Cane. When you grasp this walking cane and use a bonus action to speak the command word, it transforms into an ordinary longsword and ceases to be magical.
It is a sword cane! Yes!
The book says that it can't, but I like the idea of it being able to transform back and forth.
Yes. That's great.
Yeah, that's much cooler. I'm going to try and examine this wand and see if I can make heads or tails of it.
Okay. So, this is called the Wand of Smiles. So, the wand has three charges. And when you're holding it, you can use an action to use one of its charges when you're targeting specifically a humanoid creature. If a humanoid creature is within 30 feet of you, your target has to succeed on a DC 10 charisma saving throw. If it fails that DC 10 charisma saving throw, it is forced to smile for 1 minute. It regains all its charges at dawn, daily. However, if you decide to use all three charges on one day, you have to roll d20. On a 1, the wand will transform into a wand of scowls.
I love this.
Did you want to look at something, Swift?
The moon short sword.
So this is the moon touched sword, which is a short sword. Basically, while you are in darkness, you can unsheathe the blade and it sheds moonlight. Sheds bright light within a 15-foot radius and dim light within 15 feet. So it's a flashlight sword.
And it otherwise is a... Does it count as an enchanted weapon? Or is it...
Nope, it's just a short sword that glows.
Yup.
That could come in handy for me, actually, since I'm the only one without dark vision.
Yeah, if it's it actually does a little bit less damage than my rapier, and I have dark vision, so I'd be happy to give that to you.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
You have some other items if you wanted to check those out.
Is there anything special with this really nice pair of drums?
This is an instrument of illusions. While you are playing these drums, you can create harmless, illusionary visual effects within a 5-foot radius sphere centered on the instrument.
That is awesome.
If you are a bard, the radius increases to 15 feet. Simple visual effects include luminous musical notes, a spectral dancer, butterflies, and gently falling snow. The magical effects have neither substance nor sound, and they're obviously illusionary. And the effects stop when you stop playing.
Very fancy.
Sweet. Those are mine.
No argument here. I would like to take a look at that spell scroll and see if I can determine what it might be. I do have a little bit of arcane knowledge, if that
Give
is
me a
required.
Roll.
Natural one. I know shit all about arcane, apparently.
Okay. Anyone else like to try?
I would love to try, as I see Swift kind of scowl at...
I'm actually holding it upside down at the moment.
That's a 10 from me.
So this is a spell scroll of invisibility, specifically bard.
Meaning it's only usable by a bard, or...?
Correct.
Well, apparently we need to find ourselves a bard.
You may have one at some point.
Nice! Cool.
Another couple of levels, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
Did the feather token feel tingly?
It does.
I would like to take a look at that.
Okay.
So do you try to identify the arrows yet?
Not yet.
Alright, I'll try and do that while you're doing that.
So this is a Qual's feather token. Specifically, Swan Boat. So for this particular one, use an action, and you touch the token onto a body of water at least 60 feet in diameter. The token then disappears, and a 50-foot-long, 20-foot-wide boat shaped like swan takes its place. The boat is self-propelled and moves across water at a speed of 6 miles per hour. If you want to, you can use an action while the boat and command the boat to move or turn up to 90 degrees, so it moves on command, basically.
That's amazing. How long does that last?
For 24 hours, and then it disappears.
It doesn't turn back into the token? It's a single use?
It is a single use.
Well, that's tragic, because the token's really pretty.
While our lovely game master's looking that up, I would like to propose that each one of us take two of those potions of healing.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I have the interesting ability to, with my mage hand, I can uncork a potion and give it to someone like 30 feet away. So like, if one of you are down, but I can't reach you. Mage hand.
You have fucking mage hand?
It's a Githzerai thing.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, I get mage hand soon. Rude.
Cool.
Yeah.
So if you want to all let me know where on your bodies your potions are, that could facilitate me possibly saving your life at some point if I can't reach you to heal you.
Cool.
Okay. So the arrows are walloping ammunition. Basically, whenever a creature is hit by these arrows, they then have to succeed on a DC 10 strength saving throw or be knocked prone.
Does anyone else use bows?
I do use bows, and I'm interested in maybe splitting those arrows up with you.
Sure, 10 each.
Sounds good. What are they called again?
Walloping ammunition.
And what was the answer to whether they also do regular damage, or is it just the effect?
They do.
Cool.
Regular damage.
Regular 1d6?
Whatever the bow is.
Oh, right. It's affected by the bow, not by the ammunition. Yes.
Anything else you want to look at?
The spice pouch? Did that feel tingly?
That is Heward's handy spice pouch.
Heward?
Heward. It has 10 charges. It appears empty. And while holding the pouch, you can use an action to expend one of its charges, speak the name of any non-magical food seasoning, salt, pepper, saffron, cilantro, and remove a pinch of the desired seasoning from the pouch. A pinch is enough to season a single meal. And then at dawn, you can roll 1d6 plus 4 to get that many charges back.
That's amazing. Can I have it?
Go for it.
That's so cool.
The last thing I'm interested in is the ear horn. I kind of stick it up to my ear and see what I hear.
Ear horn of hearing. So while you hold it up to your ear, it suppresses the effects of the deafened condition on you, allowing you to hear normally. So basically, if you're ever magically or otherwise deafened, you can use that to hear.
Sounds good.
And I believe there is one thing left, which is the fake eye.
Yes, let's see what the fake eye does.
That is Erot's eye. So it replaces a real one that you lost or removed. When it is embedded into your eye socket, it can't be removed by anyone other than you. And you can see through the tiny orb as if it were a normal eye.
So there's no benefit other than normal eyesight. So you probably shouldn't remove an eye to use it, unless you really want a glass eye for some reason.
It's a spare eye. It could come in handy.
I'm not saying throw it away. I'm just, you know, commenting but there was talk of definitely removing eyes, and I would maybe not do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool.
All right. So I believe the plan was for two of you to leave and Dibella to stay.
Yep, I'm at full hit points. I rolled well with my one hit die that I used. Just going to kind of camp out and wait.
So as you leave and you get back to camp, and Dibella, you're probably just waiting there for about an hour. The two of you, Swift and Devis, you see that people, Thrizog and Captain Starmore, are helping up Captain Grav. He looks really groggy and he's coughing. And he sees Devis and he politely shakes off Starmore and Thrizog. And he shakily walks to you, falls to his knees, and simply says to you, "I now owe you a life debt. I am yours."
Well, I will humbly accept your life debt, even though it was your actions that caused us to be in this predicament. I would call us even if you swear off the pirate life.
That's not how this works. I work for you now.
All right, that's fine.
Like forever?
I will accept you as a companion there's something that I need from you. In fact, you can help us head back and grab more of these supplies so that we can all survive the night. We can certainly use you. You know what they say, more hands equal less work.
He kind of just shrugs his shoulders and walks with you.
All right, cool. Yeah, we tell Starborn Thrizog that we found the remains of the ship and have recovered some supplies back that way if they all want to come with us.
As you are going through the sand and heading towards the broken up ship, that is where we will end the episode.
Quick note, was the other captain, I know the other captain was missing an arm, were they missing an eye as well?
They were not, no.
Aww. I mean, like, good that they weren't missing an eye, but that would have been very perfect.